Nobody can tell us what to do, Harvey Weinstein boasted. Certainly not Dick Cook, Disney's head of marketing and distribution. The usually genial Cook clashed with the Weinsteins almost immediately, so Katzenberg asked Mechanic to oversee them. Mechanic soon had his hands full reviewing scripts for Pulp Fiction by a new writing and directing talent, Quentin Tarantino, and another film called Priest. Pulp Fiction was filled with graphic violence and sadomasochism. Priest was about a gay priest in Ireland, likely to rile Catholics, including Patty Disney and her family. Just days after the deal was concluded with Disney, Harvey Weinstein called Mechanic from London and said he wanted to inquire Little Buddha, directed by Bernardo Bertolucci and starring Keanu Reeves. Mechanic was skeptical, but gave in when Harvey insisted that he had to act quickly. Miramax bought the rights. Months later, Harvey called Mechanic after the film was finished. "I just saw it," he reported. "I'm killing Bertolucci and fixing the movie." "Harvey," Mechanic said, "it's Bertolucci. All you can do is make it shorter." A slow-moving and pointless exercise, critic Roger Ebert wrote of the finished Little Buddha, which did less than $5 million at the box office. Even after making the deal with Roth, Eisner continued to talk with Katzenberg about a new contract and about expanding his responsibilities at Disney. Eisner invited Katzenberg and his wife to stay overnight at the Eisner home in Aspen in October, when Disney executives would be having their next executive retreat, to discuss the possibilities. Despite Katzenberg's request earlier that year to calculate his bonus payment, "it never occurred to me," Eisner said, "that Katzenberg might actually be planning to leave." Then, in mid-August, Katzenberg was startled by a letter from Santaniello, the in-house lawyer, asking him to state his intentions. Katzenberg asked his lawyer to respond by calling Wells to clarify the bonus issue. Wells was less than conciliatory, telling Emil if he wanted an answer, he should read the contract. "I don't have to read the contract," Emil angrily retorted. "It's not the deal that we made." "Listen, it's not going to be an issue. Jeffrey's going to stay these next 2 years," Wells said, "so don't get upset about it." Katzenberg, furious, called Wells and said he couldn't understand why Disney was playing games with him. "If the point of this is to leverage me into staying with the company, then this would certainly cause me to do exactly the opposite," he warned. Wells said again he wanted to look at the contract. "Let's come to an understanding first as to what the contract says," he said. "Okay. We'll go back and look at the contract, but I have to say I know what the deal is, Frank." The next day, Katzenberg met with Wells in Wells' office. He said he'd read the contract and didn't see what the issue was. "If you cannot confirm that the deal is as I understand it, then I'm telling you now I'm leaving." Wells said the problem was Eisner, who had a misunderstanding and believed that Katzenberg wasn't entitled to any bonus if he exercised the option to leave in 1994. Katzenberg said he'd have his lawyer write Eisner a letter, but Wells told him to wait. "I'll handle it with Michael. I will take care of this." Katzenberg thought the matter was settled. As he testified much later in his lawsuit with Disney, "Frank was the person that, you know, kept Michael Eisner and I working well with each other. He was the one who handled these issues between us. He was the peacemaker, the marriage.